What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, September 25th, 2018, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. So the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to put you on the air with your comments and questions. Today's third hour guest is Tom Kaczynski. I'm probably mispronouncing it. He's the author of a new book on the coming Civil War. And as longtime listeners know, this is something I do not wish to see happen. But I'm hearing more and more about it could be a real possibility. You have these two political parties, these two political ideologies that are inflexible and unyielding with each other. And more to the point, one of those political parties is trying to undo the last election. So that to me right there says the glue that holds our nation together is starting to crack. And that's a bad thing. So we're going to be talking to Tom about his new book and what he sees as a real coming problem. And again, I think it's a bad idea, but if it happens, I can't stop it. Okay, Donald Trump earlier today got his chance to address the United Nations General Assembly. He's getting ready to chair the Security Council and scream about Iran here. And basically, Trump sort of fell into this thing of kind of bragging about how great things are going in the United States and how much progress that he's made in just 2 years. And it must have been a little bit over the top, a little bit of the shark, if you will, because apparently his boasting actually drew laughter from the assembly. And Trump said, "I didn't expect that reaction." Well, you may want to rethink your speech writing here. So let's get into the war zones, because there's a lot going on over there. And once again, corporate media is not covering any of this. Right now, they're just obsessing about, well, still about Kavanaugh. And about Bill Cosby, now he's been sentenced. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show here. But Russia has announced several measures that it will take in Syria following the shoot down of the Ilyushin 20 with those people on there. And as it turns out, apparently the version of the S-200 system Syria was using did not, in fact, have the identification friend or foe system. And they've already come on out and said that was the problem. They were targeting the Israeli planes. The Israeli planes dipped behind the Ilyushin, and the S-200 radar locked on the Ilyushin and didn't realize it was a friendly aircraft. So Russia is sending over the S-300 systems. They came on out and said they'll be delivered sometime in the next 2 weeks. And they're going to equip all the headquarters of the Syrian Air Defense Forces with automated process control systems, providing the Syrian Air Defense Force with better intelligence, targeting information, integrating it with the Russian military group deployed in the country. And furthermore, the Russian electronic warfare system will suppress communications, radars, and satellite navigation of combat aviation involved in any attacks on Syria from the Eastern Mediterranean. In effect, they've basically put up a de facto no-fly zone. If you are not allowed to be in there and you fly into Syria, everything that your plane requires to navigate and know where it's going is going to shut on down here. And apparently, there's already been noted an increase in the activity of transport aviation at Russia's Khmeimim Air Base in Latakia. And reports also appeared that at least eight Sukhoi 30SM and Sukhoi 35 fighter jets have been deployed allegedly to carry out combat missions in Syrian airspace. So this is getting really, really serious stuff over there. Now, John Bolton has come on out slamming Russia, saying that the S-300 sale in Syria, that's a significant escalation. Well, how is installing a defensive system to prevent oneself from being attacked an escalation? And the answer is, it isn't. It's ridiculous. You know, John Bolton is out there with this attitude about how Israel and the United States have an automatic right to fly into Syria and blow things up, and Syria does not have a right to fight back. How dare they do that? It's against the rules that we just made up here. And then Bolton goes on, and his jumping the shark moment is to say that ultimately Iran carries the blame for the shoot down of the Ilyushin 20. He doesn't exactly say how he comes to that conclusion or what his rationale is for that, but that's Bolton saying it's all Iran's fault. Yeah, it's all Iran's fault. Iran is to blame here. So basically, the situation over Syria is changing, and Israel and U.S. Warplanes and missiles are no longer welcome, obviously. And the new systems that are being brought in do have the IFF, so there will not be a repeat of Syria shooting down a Russian plane here. We're going to do a shout-out now to our honorary affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. And so, again, this establishes a de facto no-fly zone over Syria. And as you know, Russia right now is maintaining a no-fly zone over the eastern Mediterranean for the next week for the duration of their military drills here. But Russia may have pulled a fast one. Israel was out there saying, well, we're going to have to destroy those S-300s. We can't tolerate them being there, and we're going to destroy them. And we know that Israel has previously basically attacked transport aircraft coming into Syria that Israel believes are carrying weapons. Just shoot them right on the runway here. But leaked photos came on out showing that the S-300s may already be in Syria. And once they're set up and running, trying to attack them is going to be a very, very tricky situation here. Netanyahu's apparently holding a crisis meeting over the Russia tensions, trying to figure out what they're going to do, because they've lost their blank check. Up until now, Israel basically could, you know, fly into Syria, blow things up, fly back out, nothing happened to them. Now it's going to get a little dicey. First of all, I think it caught Israel by surprise that Syria was shooting at them. And now, of course, with these new, more advanced weapon systems being delivered by Russia, going into Syria right now, it has become a high-risk operation for Israel here. Now, despite all of this brouhaha, the reality is that the war in Syria is pretty much over. There is still that group of holdouts in Idlib, which is now under an officially declared no-fly zone. And the U.S. is still out there saying, well, if you dare attack, you know, we'll come on in and give you what for. In fact, during his speech at the U.N., Donald Trump once again floated the thing. If Assad gasses his own people, we will definitely give him what for here. But we're already seeing all this talk about how even after ISIS is defeated and all the terrorists are out of Syria, the United States is going to stay there. By golly, we're just going to stay. The reason why depends on who you're asking. And Secretary of Defense Mattis is saying U.S. forces will stay in Syria to provide training to local forces in an effort to ensure stability within the region, a decision that seems to run counter to past statements from President Donald Trump, who's repeatedly threatened to withdraw American forces from the region. And I'm sure the Syrian government is saying, yeah, dare, go ahead, withdraw the forces from the region here. And, of course, they're still talking about regime change. They're talking about the American forces are needed to prevent the resurgence of ISIS and al-Qaeda, forgetting that the United States didn't defeat ISIS and al-Qaeda in Syria. Syria and Russia did. So meanwhile, I'm wondering what the government of Syria has to say about all this, because we're not getting any information about that. I imagine they've got a few words. All right, let's take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
But who cares about the Syrian government? It's what we say, you know. Do as we say, not as we do, you know. I mean, that's... Mike, I'm going to get to the Trump UN thing because I think it was pretty asinine, if you ask me. But Mike, I don't know if you heard, but up, well, six is a battalion for the S-300. That's six times four launch tubes. So that'd be 24. Supposedly they're getting up to eight. So that'd be 32. But I don't know if you remember, I called, back, this was a while ago, I told you, like, there was these, the ships, remember, they leased one out, I think, from Turkey? It was a yellow one. Mm-hmm. And supposedly, those ships, when they disembarked, they laid down this, like, smoke screen, and maybe then they brought out some of the S-300s they brought onto Hyman Air Base. And then the other ones, maybe they're, because I read they're packing them up now, the components for them, so they're getting loaded up on planes. To bring in, so
well,
maybe
like,
already
like
have...
I said, there's these leaked photos showing the S-300s and other equipment being offloaded from transport planes at Hyman Air Base.
Yeah, eight. That's, I mean, that's 32. That's a lot of air cover there. I mean, plus the other S-400 they got there. I don't know how many systems of those they got. Maybe two or three. And plus, they're all going to be linked together now. The S-300, the S-400 is going to be one combined system with the IFF.
Yes.
Render foe, you know, so, yeah, if Israel wants to try something, or the U.S., or it's going to be tough getting through that unless they have a barrage of, like, 500 missiles.
Yeah, this may change the U.S. doctrine. You know, they stage a false flag. Oh, my goodness, look what Assad has done this time. And they just go on with a full-on saturation attack to overwhelm Russia's defenses. Because after you have fired an S-300 or S-400 from that tube, it takes a while to reload. So it's not like they can continue to salvo time after time after time.
But as they reload, and you also have naval assets that can unload theirs on the targets coming in, you know. So, yeah, it's tough. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be within the next 2 weeks till the other batch gets there. So something's going to happen. Hey, Mike, on Trump's speech, it was horrible. Like, he...
Yes.
I mean, one paragraph he said, like, we're not gonna get butt into people's business, and then the next he goes, Germany's being, like, you know, the same, you know, don't buy Russian gas, buy ours. You know, and the same with Sweden. I mean, yeah, they're socialists, but if you just said we're gonna mind our own business, let them deal with their socialists. If it collapses, that's their problem. Like, you know, I mean, but he's flip-flop. I mean, it's bizarre. It's bizarre, Mike, and he's saying Iran's causing all the chaos in the middle. Huh? It's Saudi Arabia and Israel and us. We've been caused all the... Mike, they just had a car drive over 100 children in Sweden today or within the last few hours. Nobody got killed, but, I mean, you think that's coming from Iran? No. You know? Well, he didn't mention one thing against Saudi Arabia or Israel. Not one.
Nope.
And then I look at... And, Mike, I look in the audience with Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, and Pompeo... Those three look like they're running the show. Trump looked bumbling. Like, he looked off his game. He was like just, I don't know. He didn't look right. You know,
there was one point about a minute into the speech where it sounded like he was slurring his words. And I don't know if he's on tranquilizers or what the deal is. But, yeah, he definitely was not at his crisp best.
Mike, I did notice that, the slurring of his words. I'm like... Yeah, but, I mean, they laughed. Nobody believes this crap. Well, the economy's doing well. No, the stock market's doing well because the companies are buying back their stock. That's it. Nobody believes the unemployment. It's all phony baloney, man. Like, I don't even think Trump believed it, the way he was talking. It's all, but it looked like the people in the audience, like, you know, Nikki Haley and them three, they look like the power brokers. I mean, Mike Pence looks like a stiff. I don't know how anybody can support that dude, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mike, like, what a joke. What a joke, like, calling Iran the biggest terror. Tell them that all the bloodshed. We all know who's doing this. You know,
yes.
I mean, how can you go in front of the world and just push these lies with a straight face? You know, it would have been good for Trump as an opportunity if he really believed in America first and honesty and the stock market. He could have just come out and say, we've been arming terror. I mean, he could have just come out and said it. You know, like, which would have been great for the world because everybody would know what's going on. But he didn't, so he's part of the problem as far as I'm concerned now, Mike. Like, I'm not voting for him again. I don't care. I'm not. All right,
yeah.
Have a good show, Mike.
No, the only way I would support Trump in 2020 is if Hillary runs again. If Hillary isn't there, then Trump has lost my support. I'm sorry. I mean, we all worked really, really hard to overcome the election fraud and keep Hillary from stealing that Oval Office. And Trump has just turned out to be this incredible disappointment.
All right, Mike, have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. Now, there's a very interesting story coming out of Syria. And this came from this military analysis site, Defense Blog. And it's carrying a report that a Russian Sukhoi 35S fighter jet intercepted a U.S. F-22 Raptor over Syria and managed to get radar lock on it, which is significant given that the F-22 is supposed to be the Pentagon's most advanced stealth fighter. And apparently this pilot got an image from the targeting system of his Sukhoi, which is Russia's most advanced jet, and posted it, and it's basically gone all over the web. And but neither Russia or the United States has acknowledged the event. Now, maybe this Russian pilot just got lucky, and he just selected one image out of the video from the targeting system that makes it look like the Raptor is in the crosshairs. I don't know. I can't read the iconography on a Sukhoi 35. But remember, the Russians have been working on countermeasures to stealth ever since they got hold of portions of that F-117 that got shot down over, I think it was Romania. And if they found a workaround, if they found a way to detect these stealthy aircraft, maybe they're not even using radar. Maybe it's a LIDAR-based system. And America's stealth technology won't even begin to work against that. But if this story is true, if the Sukhoi 35 can lock onto the F-22, then that is a major, major game changer. Because both in the case of the F-22 and the F-35, performance has been sacrificed for the stealth capability. And if the stealth isn't working, then they're flying an inferior jet. We already know that the F-35 is a terrible dogfighter. They've had it. They've test flown it against 1970s vintage fighter jets, and it lost. But what we're seeing right now is a world that is just globally straining at events here. We've got these tensions growing. China, Russia, and Iran are basically taking the world back to a multipolar world order. And that's not what the United States wanted. After the Soviet Union collapsed, the attitude of the U.S. government is, we're now the world's sole superpower. We're in charge here. That was a big part of the agenda for the Project for the New American Century. It was in their policy papers. We're the world's remaining superpower. We're going to act like it. But the United States is an empire in decline. It's bankrupted itself on all of these wars. The rest of the world is tired of being bullied with the U.S. dollar. And people are turning away. When you have the President of the United States of America laughed at as he gives a speech to the United Nations General Assembly, you know that respect for the United States has just pretty much collapsed everywhere. Now, the United States is now vowing to overthrow Iran, and we're seeing destabilization operations where these terrorists are targeting Iranians. Nobody's really sure who did it. U.S. and Israel are obvious suspects. It might have been MEK, because MEK was part of this anti-Iran conference that was going on at the same time the terrorists attacked. So Iran is obviously very angry at the Abbas attack, and apparently Rudy Giuliani is out there saying that U.S. sanctions on Iran are leading to economic pain that will trigger a successful revolution, which is a direct contrast with Trump's comments that regime change in Tehran is not U.S. policy. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And as I was mentioning before the commercial break here, one of the reasons to suspect that MEK may have been involved in the terror attack in Iran, which killed 25 people, is that at the same time, Donald Trump's lawyer, Giuliani, was speaking at an Iran uprising summit in New York City's Times Square, where they're trying to build political support in the U.S. to overthrow Iran's revolutionary government and take them back to the days of the Shah. And Giuliani is out there saying the people of Iran have obviously had enough. Well, if that sounds vaguely familiar, it's because the U.S. tried a regime change back in 2009. And there were sniper attacks. People were being killed. You got the usual Iran is shooting their own people. And they really did the full court press on it. And it all fell apart when people noticed two things. First of all, the flag of the new Iranian Republic that was being unloaded from vans and handed to everybody was the exact same flag used under the Shah of Iran. And that gave everybody pause. And then second, the son of the Shah of Iran, who's still alive, started making these press conferences saying that he was ready to resume the peacock throne in Iran. And at that point, everybody in Iran just slammed the brakes on. And at this point, the people of Iran understand this violence is not from inside. They understand the United States is responsible for their economic pain, not their own government. But again, here it's the U.S. government just mucking about in other people's countries just to prove how mighty they are here. Now, an Iranian media outlet close to the Revolutionary Guard published a video clip threatening missile attacks on the capitals of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. This was in a tweet by the semi-official Fars News Agency, was then later deleted. I'm not surprised at all. We don't need this kind of inflammatory situation. But apparently, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei blamed Riyadh and Abu Dhabi for the attack on the city of Avaz on Saturday. And again, the whole region looks to be just lining up for a major, major war. And it's going to be bloody and it's going to be awful and it could spiral out of control. Meanwhile, as Iran vows that there will be a response to the terror attack, the U.S. is now threatening war against Iran if any American interests are targeted. It's kind of a vague, broad statement saying that if the Iranians target any sort of American interest, that will be war. That will be the excuse for the U.S. to invade Iran and go to war. So, false flag attack coming up here. Now, there was an article over in Sputnik News, which is reminding us all that Iranians have very sharp, clear, and dark memories of U.S.-backed terrorists that have been a plague on their country ever since the United States started coveting the place. So the Iranians are smart people. You know, maybe back in 1953, they fell for the lies. They fell for the propaganda. They didn't have an independent media or any way of really discussing this peer-to-peer with the rest of the population. But the world is a very, very different place. And people understand what's going on. That may be another reason why all those delegates to the United Nations laughed at Trump this morning. They know the game. They know what the U.S. is doing. And they're not going to sit there and be polite by being silent and looking respectful. They know that our nation is rapidly becoming a joke. Unfortunately, one armed with very massive weapons, including nukes here. And by the way, talking about the corporate media, have you noticed that the corporate media is still using all those same talking heads that told us Saddam had nuclear weapons? They still have jobs. Biggest whopper of a lie told to the American people in a generation, they're still working. And now, of course, they're out there screaming about Syria and Iran. You know, Assad is gassing his own people. Putin passes wind in the elevators. You know, they're evil. We have to get after them. My response is, okay, if you really feel that way, here's your rifle. Here's your parachute. Here's your day-glow orange jumpsuit left over from the CIA's torture centers, and just go on and have a good time. But we're going to sit this one out because we have been lied into way too many wars, and it's time for it to stop. Israel is continuing to arm the extremists, meaning the terrorists and the jihadis, in Syria, trying to extend its control of the occupied Golan. And Israel's providing large amounts of cash, weapons, and ammunition to the so-called Syrian rebels in the Golan Heights. And this story came out, and then it was retracted as well, apparently from Israel's military censors. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And down in Yemen, the Saudi coalition has decided they're going to open humanitarian corridors out of Hodeidah City and away from the port. And, of course, it's not really going to solve the problem. Obviously, the people of Hodeidah are going to want to get on out of there. It's now a combat zone. But it still does not solve the problem of what they're going to eat, how they're going to shelter, whether they can get clean water, not to mention they're still dealing with this massive, possibly weaponized cholera attack. So I think at this point we can safely say, yeah, we're in a world war. This is a world war. I just hope that it doesn't go out of control and we wind up flinging nuclear bombs all over the place here. The United States is also apparently at war in Tunisia. And last month, a U.S. Africa Command spokesman confirmed in a task and purpose report that Marine Corps raiders were involved in a fierce battle in an unnamed North African country. Now, this happened back in 2017, and AFRICOM acknowledged that two Marines received citations for valor, but withheld all other details. You know, you don't have a right to know. But apparently, evidence has surfaced that the battle occurred in Mount Semama, which is a mountain range in the Kasserine Governorate near the Algerian border. So the United States has sustained its first casualty in action in Tunisia since World War II. Now, the U.S. military's got to be spread really thin right now. They're using up supplies and material like crazy. Over in Madagascar, apparently an American diplomat was found dead at home, the subject of murder or assassination. They've arrested a suspect, but the U.S. Foreign Service is not giving out any additional information about that. So maybe Madagascar doesn't like the way the U.S. is poking into other countries' business here. Erdogan has ordered Turkish, quote, operations, end quote, against political enemies on U.S. soil. And, of course, obviously, this is all centered on Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen, who Erdogan is convinced was a central player in the failed coup d'etat against him. So he and his followers are in the gun sights of Turkey, which sounds suspiciously to me like wet work on U.S. soil. Turkish agents are going to come on in, and they're going to start killing people inside America, which is a violation of our national sovereignty. Now, supposedly, this Fethullah Gulen network numbers in the millions. Gulen himself lives in exile in Pennsylvania and has stayed there since that failed 2016 coup attempt. Pardon me. Over in the Western Pacific, the tensions that continue to build up between the countries there around those islands in the South China Sea are becoming very, very serious. And the People's Liberation Army of China is saying that this China-Japan maritime crisis would actually threaten the Belt and Road Initiative. And, of course, China is pointing to the Belt and Road as obviously peaceful development. They don't want to make war. They want to make products, and they want to sell them. They want to get them to marketplace, and that's what the Belt and Road is about. And apparently, at one point, Japan was indicating that they might want to take advantage of that. Obviously, they would have to send a cargo ship from Japan to the coast of China, but that's a lot shorter distance than sending it all the way down through the Indian Ocean and up through the Suez Canal and trying to get to Europe that way. So all these good things that were being done, they're all falling by the wayside as the world just gears up for war. We were going to build such beautiful things. Now we're just going to knock down what's already here. A little bit of positive news, though. Apparently, India is cautiously accepting Pakistan's offer for a meeting between their foreign ministers. Now, Pakistan and India have been making stink face at each other for a very, very long time, and they're both nuclear armed. And it would be nice if maybe they would kind of calm down just a little tiny bit. But if you understand the history of India and Pakistan, it has been hostile since the time of Gandhi. Now, China has strongly urged the U.S. to halt arms sales to Taiwan. And apparently a big issue with China is the sanctions against part of the Chinese military for daring to buy weapons and supplies from Russia. You have to buy from us. And so, along with this $300 million deal to sell weapons to Taiwan, it's just pushing China's buttons again. Now, back in the 50s and 60s, the whole idea of the Cold War was everyone was going to posture that war was imminent, but it never really happened. It came close a couple of times, like the Cuban Missile Crisis, but nobody ever really wanted it to happen. The goal was to scare the domestic populations with the fear of the commies to get their money and just spend it all on weapons, the military-industrial complex Eisenhower warned us about. But nobody ever really wanted a war to happen. This way, the way that the United States government is provoking all these other countries, it's almost like they really want to go through with it this time. and whether that's just going to leave a little ball of ash on which to build the new world order, one world government, or if this is how they plan to depopulate the human race. Because it's one thing about these world wars. They really do cull the human population in large, large numbers. Over in the Koreas, they're still making all the signs of getting back together, burying the hatchet, if you will. North and South Korea have signed an agreement for an era of no war and pledged to cease all hostile acts. And this announcement was made at the Paekwon State Guest House on the second day of the three-day summit between the two leaders, who both expressed hopes in containing the threat of war on the Korean Peninsula. Well, obviously, they're not going to war with each other. I think what they're worried about, of course, is the United States coming on in and making war on all of them. And those North Koreans remember how badly they suffered at the hands of the United States. The issue of Puerto Rican statehood is now up in the air again. And Donald Trump yesterday declared an absolute no on statehood for Puerto Rico as long as critics of the U.S. government, such as San Juan's mayor, remain in office. So in other words, Puerto Rico can become a state when the entire island's leadership are all rah-rah America, we love you, Donald Trump is great, and so forth and so on. All right, well, let's get into the domestic politics, because this thing about Kavanaugh, it is just spiraling totally out of control. This thing should have been over long ago. Christine Ford is now making new demands for her supposed testimony on Thursday. She wants it to be held in a small room. She does not want her testimony to be a big media TV show. And so she's demanding that her hearing be held in the Dirksen Senate building rather than the larger Hart Senate building in order to limit media. And the format is still very much up in the air, but apparently they're now splitting into two panels. And one panel is going to allow Christine Ford to talk, will be questioned solo. And the second panel will question Judge Brett Kavanaugh solo. There'll be no interaction. Remember, Christine Ford insisted he was not to be in the room with her. This turns the entire process upside down. Because normally when you have an accusation or an allegation, the accuser, the plaintiff, gets up, testifies, makes their claims. Then they are subject to cross-examination. And then the defendant gets to get up there and give their side of the story and then be subject to cross-examination. And the way Christine Ford and her lawyer are trying to set it on up is that Kavanaugh goes first, and he's not going to know what to defend himself against because Christine Ford hasn't made her statement yet. And then Kavanaugh is done, and he doesn't get to come back. And then Ford gets to get on out and say whatever it is she wants to say. And apparently there is another big stink over the fact that the Judiciary Committee is bringing in a professional outside sex crimes investigator. And for some reason, Christine Ford doesn't want to do that. So Christine Ford's lawyer is still out there saying that the hearing is not designed to be fair. We want respectful treatment. And it's starting to look like maybe Ford isn't going to show up. I think what Ford and her lawyer want is for Ford to come on in, read a statement, throwing all these accusations at Kavanaugh, then refusing all questions and leaving. At which point the Democrats are going to go crazy and say, that's it. The accusation is the guilt. You know, we don't need to about presumption of innocence. We don't need due process. You know, if a girl says this, it has to be true. Well, we've kind of been down this road twice before in our nation's history. And the first one took place in a town called Salem, Massachusetts, where a lot of innocent people were executed for the crime of witchcraft on the word of a bunch of hysterical young females. And then during the McCarthy era, the same attitude prevailed. If all it took was an accusation that you were working with the communists to destroy your life, That was a big part of what Edward R. Murrow was trying to do when he was reporting on what Joseph McCarthy was doing. And by the way, Arthur Miller, who wrote The Crucible, which is about the Salem witch trials, wrote it during the McCarthy period, trying to get people to think about what was really going on. So anyway, Michael Bromwich, the newly retained lawyer by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford for her legal team, is now casting doubt on her commitment to appear on Thursday. Personally, I think if she doesn't show, go right to the vote to confirm. So it's not a done deal. They're stalling. They're delaying. By the way, one of the other lawyers, yeah, this Michael Bromwich, he's Andrew McCabe's attorney. All these little deep state connections that are working all around this thing here. Now, interestingly enough, apparently one of Ford's advisor, Ricky Seidman, was caught on audio tape several months ago saying, we need a plot to derail Kavanaugh. This was back in July. And so back in July, they were looking at, they got to do something. You know, forget due process, forget the Constitution, forget that Congress, you know, the Senate has to confirm, you know, find a way to wreck this guy. Now, Michael Avenatti, who is Stormy Daniels' lawyer, got himself his 15 minutes of fame back in the news cycle, this time by insisting that he's got a 100% credible witness who is afraid for her life, but is willing to come forward within the next 40 hours. And boy, were the details salacious. And Avenatti literally came out on the media saying that Brett Kavanaugh was guilty of gang raping women at a torture chamber he ran as a student in Washington, D.C. And he also suggested Kavanaugh made satanic references in his senior yearbook. If you squint really, really, really hard and turn it upside down. So he got his interviews on CNN and MSNBC. And he's saying that, yeah, this will happen in the next 40 hours. And then all of a sudden, he issues an interesting statement on his Twitter account. And that is that out of concern for safety, this woman will not come forward. They will not bring her forward until she herself is ready. And at that point, Avenatti shut down his Twitter feed. It's marked protected. You can't see any of the tweets that were there about the torture chambers or Satanism or anything. And now here is the payoff. It looks like Avenatti may have been the victim of an internet prank by 4chan, because apparently somebody called him on up pretending to be this former classmate of Kavanaugh and just started feeding him all this stuff. And Avenatti was apparently was just so eager to break the story of the year that he fell for it. And of course, this is not only embarrassing to Avenatti, this is embarrassing to the Democrats, because now we have one of the accusers of Donald Trump clearly having been a hoax. Now, Donald Trump is finally starting to take a more proactive approach to this con game by the Democrats, which is exactly what he's calling it. And that's exactly what it is. It's a smear job to try and get the moderate Republicans to vote against him. And I hope those moderate Republicans are smart enough to realize they are being played. They're being played here. And of course, this latest accuser, not the one that was a prank, but the Deborah Ramirez, I mean, there's nothing there. She doesn't even know for certain it was Kavanaugh. Maybe it was him, maybe not. She admits she was very drunk. She admits there are blank spaces in the mirror. And this is the best the Democrats have got. Maybe that's why Avenatti fell for that prank. They were desperate to find something here. Okay. And Avenatti's got other problems as well. because, as you know, he's the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who filed a defamation lawsuit against President Trump for his tweet saying that he did not believe what she was saying, that he basically denied it. And so she's, "You're calling me a liar. I am suing for defamation." The judge basically came on out and said Trump has a free speech right to make a comment disputing allegations by the adult film star Stormy Daniels. So it looks like he's getting ready to dismiss the lawsuit against Trump. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: "Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health." By Amazon customer: "It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure." Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof. Pay for a drink if you gotta have proof. Distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And earlier I was talking about it. It's all a big delay and a big stall. They want to delay Kavanaugh's confirmation vote at least until after the election, where once they know the Democrats are going to have control of the Senate, they'll delay it until after the first of the year and the new Congress comes on in here. And Dianne Feinstein came on out and said that these hearings of Kavanaugh have to be put on hold until the FBI thoroughly investigates all of these accusations that are out there. Well, the FBI has already investigated Kavanaugh six times. How many more investigations do you want? They certainly didn't find anything about a torture, you know, dungeon in Washington, D.C. So I can understand why Mitch McConnell's getting a little bit angry. He's trying to maintain some decorum in there and trying to protect the Senate's public image. But that's really getting shredded right now. Meanwhile, GOP Senator Susan Collins, who is one of the critical swing votes in this fight, said that she thinks that a woman accusing Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct should speak with the Senate staff under oath. And this, of course, goes back to Ramirez. And what's she going to say? Unless they're coaching her, unless they're giving her a script to read, what her original report was is, somebody waved a male member in my face at this drunken party, and it may have been him. I don't know. I was very drunk, and I've got blank spots in the memory. There's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there except an accusation. The same thing with Christine Ford. There's nothing for the FBI to investigate. Even Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch is saying this is the latest gambit by the left. Delay the Kavanaugh vote. Just stall, stall, stall. Find a way to stall it. Man, it's amazing. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Remember, there was this situation where Dianne Feinstein supposedly got this letter from Christine Ford back in July, which is the same time frame where Christine Ford's advisor was caught on tape saying they needed to work up a plan to get rid of Kavanaugh. And Feinstein, in the 11th hour, turned over a redacted version of the letter saying, you know, we've got this accusation here. You know, burn him at the stake. We don't need a trial. And that's a major talking point. Maisie Hirono was out there saying, no, we don't need a presumption of innocence. This isn't a court of law. You know, we just believe the women, we go forward. So apparently, one of the beautiful things about the internet is it is a network of people with all kinds of different skills working together. And apparently, a professional document examiner, Dr. Danielle Blumenthal, examined the unredacted letter that Feinstein finally turned over. Remember yesterday we said in the second paragraph the font had changed? And according to this document examiner, it's a fraud. It looks like it was written by a third party and not by Christine Ford herself. We'll be right back after these few words.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.